Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But Dana Hughes, our regular visit. That's right. I knew you. I didn't tell Barbara Dana was on the show. I was worried that Sean Barber was going to bail if I told him. If I said that Dana was going to call into the show. No, Dana joins us every Thursday around this time.
It's time for me to go to lunch.
He's presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I'll just let you guys talk for a second. I feel like, what's going on, Dana? Sean Barber.
Hold on.
Lord.
Now, I got to speak with Steven Spector and Roxanne over there about the security. The security has been lapsed. It must be bad. All the doors, like, y'all let somebody in there without passing through the proper security, especially a defensive guy, a linebacker?
Bro.
Come on. We got to be better.
I'm dropping nuggets, dog. I'm dropping wisdom, you know, intelligence. That's the key to success, right? I've been dropping wisdom, nuggets of influence and stuff on here.
You've been dropping poop nuggets?
There you go. Come on, man. Is he on here to talk about the wide receivers or what? He only knows a certain amount.
He's out here to trash talk a little bit.
No, let's keep him in his lane. Hey Dana, let's talk about the Chiefs wide receiver. Obviously, D-Hop got into the building. He's done some really impactful things. How do you see this wide receiver group moving forward, you know, in the season? Obviously, with Juju getting healthy, obviously, Mecole got a little banged up, so him coming back. What would be your dream scenario as we go on these final, 9 weeks of the season as far as specifically the wide receiver room?
I'm not done with messing with you.
We got listeners that they write notes and they taking, you know what I'm saying? They actually waiting for us to come up with some good stuff to talk about, bro. So, like, can you answer the question about wide receivers or not? I thought that was low-hanging fruit. I thought that was an easy question. I'm trying to give you the...
Everybody's got to. I guess I'll answer the question because everybody's got to do charity.
This
is my charitable endeavor for the day. So to answer the great question presented, I think we're definitely in a good position at the wide receiver position. Guys are making impact plays, not just DeAndre Hopkins, but what you're getting from Justin on the outside, what you're getting from Mecole Hardman, as you mentioned, like guys recognizing their roles, fitting in. Getting in where they fit in and being an impact. And I think the biggest thing that jumps out to me about the wide receivers is the confidence that they've garnered in any situation from Patrick Mahomes. You mentioned some great quarterbacks that you played against, guys that you sacked, guys that you didn't. We know for a fact, based on their own personal interviews, that they would go games without throwing the guys because they ran bad routes or because they weren't on the same page. And although that could speak to their greatness, it does definitely speak to the opposite of what makes Patrick Mahomes great. The fact that he doesn't have that mindset. The fact that he has the ability to go from play to play to the next play to the next play and still look to make plays down the field regardless of what mistakes you make in a wide receiver position, regardless of what age or how tenured you are, or what have you. Think about Xavier Worthy. That, to me, that was a perfect throw in a position where only he can make the play, and he has to do a better job on the sideline of knowing exactly where he is on the sideline and not stepping out of bounds. But did that preclude Patrick from throwing to him again? Did that take away, was there any dynamic on the sideline that said Andy Reid and Matt Nagy were not going to throw him back in the game? No. DeAndre Hopkins, a couple of miscues at the end of the game when he was supposed to run a quicker slant on an RPO and a crucial third down conversion, and it, two balls that almost got intercepted. Did that stop him from going back to him? Like, these are components that are, yeah, the numbers speak well for DeAndre. The numbers speak well for Patrick in a game where he didn't throw an interception and had the proficiency that he had. But I'm speaking to a whole higher level, Barbershop, with regards to being a former receiver and recognizing how cool it is when you have a quarterback that can look past your mistakes and miscues and still, for the betterment of the team, put you in a position of success. That's what we have here, and that's what's the, to me, that's the coolest component of this wide receiving crew.
Well, I know Gold got some questions for you, but you're definitely talking to a higher level of something when you talk about preclude and dynamic and proficiency. Gold. I mean, bro, where are we at? Who are you talking to? Are you about to take an ACT or something? What's going on?
Gold, you can obviously tell that they didn't have these kind of classes at the University of Richmond. They didn't have these type of classes like they had at the University of Iowa. We're knowing that now.
I'm glad you mentioned that line there, because a little bit later this hour, we're going to play the audio of Jamar Chase talking about not studying in school, and I wanted to get Barber's perspective on. And so we'll talk. Don't worry, we'll talk about Richmond and that education at some point later this hour. But he's right. I did want to ask you about the receivers some more. I'm glad you brought up Xavier Worthy, because I think he's been facing a little bit of criticism. You acknowledge that he needed to know where he was on the field better on that particular sequence with Patrick Mahomes. But I think at times people are forgetting that when Rashee Rice ended up with nearly 1,000 yards last year, a lot of that came on the back half of the season as he continued to get more comfortable in this offense. Right now, yeah, the numbers aren't great for Worthy, but 8 games in, Rashee Rice had 26 catches, 358 yards, and 3 touchdowns. 8 games in, I'm sorry, Worthy has 19 catches, 272, and 5 touchdowns. So it's not like it's not even that far off of each other.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely a growth process. I think in the day and age that we are in, we want success yesterday. We want everything to be polished and professional and the best version of whatever we're talking about. Yesterday, we wanted to already be at the Hall of Fame top 5 level, like we expected or we hope it to be down the road. And you can go throughout the league and see whatever position, pass rusher, offensive lineman, wide receivers, running backs, heck, the quarterbacks especially, that they're just not as polished. And guess what? They're not supposed to be. There's supposed to be a significant difference between college football and the pros. And I don't care if you went to Texas, you went to Alabama, Georgia, or wherever, there's a difference between the game at the college level and some of the things you can get away with, some of the attention to detail that you have to sharpen to get to the professional level. And that's what you're seeing. It's part of the maturation process. And one of the cool things about it is everything that we've seen from him is correctable. It's correctable. Like, being in a position where when Cam Taylor-Britt made that incredible interception when we played the Bengals, like, a coaching point for Xavier Worthy is become a defensive back. If you can't get the ball, make sure that the defense doesn't get the ball. Be more physical in moving yourself away from the sidelines when a defensive back is trying to push you to the sideline to make it a more difficult throw and difficult catch. In that circumstance, make sure you know that you don't get squeezed to the sideline, because the sideline, as you know, Barbershop, is the 12th defensive man. Every defensive back knows that if I can get the receiver to get as close to the sideline or out of bounds, that's less that I have to deal with him and somebody else I have to deal with. So you know what they're trying to accomplish, and part of growing in the NFL and not being the finished product is all these little nuances that'll make him a better receiver, just like you mentioned Rashee Rice. He wasn't the great receiver in the first 6-7 games of the season last year, but after that, then that's when things became real and the game started to slow down and you started to trust your instincts more than maybe having your head full of information. And that's the transition that we expect with Xavier Worthy.
Well, the one thing we definitely know, but just go back to Monday Night Football, the Buccaneers came with a game plan of definitely pressuring the A-gaps with Vita Vea. He was a one-man wrecking crew, and I know, and we talk about how great our interior is. I mean, he's a natural disaster coming in those A-gaps. And then playing the back end to take away all the deep passes. So, I mean, whether we connected on that deep ball or not, I think the purpose of it was to show that we have the ability to attack the deep end, to keep those safeties nice and deep. And when you can run the ball in, you know, run the ball interior in the interior, threaten the defensive back end, it creates this soft underbelly of a pass between 10 and 20 yards that we constantly went to over and over again, whether it was Kelce, Watson, whoever it was wide open in those different passes. And I think that's something that is so effective going forward. People are worried about, you know, what's happening with this offense and red zone. I say, man, listen, if you can attack a defense in all the different ways that we did on Monday night, there's going to be more than 30 points available for you no matter who you play against, because it's such a variation of ways we're attacking. So I love to see the game planning from Matt Nagy and Andy Reid continuously evolve and develop and create new plays. And listen, I know I'm a defensive guy, but I like the creativity. I like the jet sweeps and the all the fancy stuff, because it keeps the defense on its toes, and it doesn't allow you just to think you're going to take away Travis Kelce and focus on the running game and get after Patrick Mahomes. No, you got to be ready for just about anything at any point on the field, and I think that's what's make this offense really unique.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I totally believe that. To me, you should take one deep shot a quarter.
Yeah.
Like, on an average. Take one deep shot a quarter, whether you connect or not, for the sole purpose of keeping the defense honest. You know, from a linebacker position especially, if you get a linebacker looking side to side, that's when you're able to get something over the top of their heads. And that's what you see when you have the fake jet sweeps, when you have the shifts and motions, when you have the reverses. Hey, sometimes my father used to say, some things that make you laugh and make you cry. Some of the great things that happen, there are going to be times where we're going to scratch our heads and wonder what the heck we're doing. But more times than not, we're going to be smiling and high-fiving because it's working. So, the offense, I think, is still a work in progress. It was great to see that they were able to be proficient on the biggest stage against a team that was reeling. And now we got the same circumstance coming in this week with the Broncos. This is a divisional opponent. It's a rival. It's a team that's playing, even though they had a big drop against the Ravens, they're still playing solid football. And they do have some confidence against us. Like, whether we like it or not, whether it's justified or not, there is definitely some confidence that even though we've beaten them, 16 straight times or what have you, we lost to them last year, and it was pretty embarrassing back in October. So, we're not looking past them. We also recognize that Sean Payton, with the decisions he's made in the quarterback position and some of the play and the play calling that they've had, not that he's on the hot seat, but this would be a huge boost of confidence for their organization and for him if they're able to come in here and beat us.
Talking to Dana Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you'll hear him Sunday afternoon, and also pregame coverage beginning at 9 o'clock right here as the Chiefs get set to take on the Broncos. Plus, we'll ask him about players only in a second. There was a stat that stunned me when it came to Bo Nix, and that was that he has 33 plays of 20-plus yards this season. The only player with more is Lamar Jackson. I did not think Bo Nix would be right there in that category with Lamar. What have you seen as you get set for this game and studying it a little bit from the Broncos offense and how they're having any bit of success with Bo Nix and that wide receiver room?
Yeah, you know what? It's been pretty impressive to see that a team that was reeling as much as they did last year and had the question marks coming into the season are still playing solid football. I mean, they're a winning football team right now, 5-4, and Bo Nix has looked solid. For a rookie quarterback to come in and play the way he's played, you know how demanding Sean Payton can be. We've heard about, some of the butting of heads between he and Russell Wilson and how Russell Wilson was jettisoned out of town, and the fact that this kid has come in and garnered the confidence that he's gotten from his team and and the way he's able to perform on the field. Yeah, it's not perfect. I'm sure he's got a lot of snaps he'd love to have back, but you can see something brewing in him, the way he uses his legs, his decision-making, and as you mentioned, with the yards gained and the big plays that he's had, you can tell that he's not just going to be a check-down Charlie guy. He's not trying to be out there just to be in the safe mode so that he doesn't draw the ire of Sean Payton. Heck, earlier this season, he got into a back-and-forth and screaming match in the face of Sean Payton. I don't know if I've ever seen that from a rookie quarterback. So that tells you about his moxie. It tells you about his expectations of himself. And it tells you something about what could be brewing down the road in regards to success on the field. But, you know, they are a force. And their defense is dominant. Their special teams is strong. This by no way is going to be a pushover game.
What do you got planned tonight before we let you go? Players only back tonight?
Players only. Because Barbershop is in the booth with you, he is not allowed to be in the booth on two consecutive shows in the day. That is definitely against the security policy at Odyssey. So he will not be there. I will be there, and we will have some fun. We'll get the callers involved in the hot fire Spitfire takes. I'll talk about the Buccaneers and what this upcoming game against the Broncos will present. We'll have some fun as always.
Danan Hughes, he joins us each and every Thursday. He's got players only tonight, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan, and of course again Sunday along with Dan Israel, Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler on the call, Chiefs and Broncos. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, especially since you had to deal with Barber.
Hey, make sure you check your wallet before you leave.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.